Brother, the Lord is good. Let's quickly continue our teaching. So this message will be the last in the series, hopefully, all right, of True Righteousness Revealed. I thought that it's possible that it might also be the first in the next of the series, which we want to talk about the work of Jesus Christ. But I hope we'll begin that one next time. So today, let's just conclude something. I want to add something as a conclusion to what we've been speaking about on the revelation of true righteousness. Now, what do I want to talk about? You know, let me just say this quickly. Sometimes people hear you, they hear only one thing you say, and then they wonder what you are saying, all right? And a lot of times, I really don't care. For those who want to hear me only once, I don't owe them any apology. You understand my point? I only teach those who, like if I use a word in the Bible, all right, disciples, all right, who are disciples of this anointing, who are disciples of this ministry. And the reason is that they listen to you for a long period of time, and they find it hard to misunderstand what you are saying. Once a man walked in here, I think I've given the example a number of times, and he walked in one day, and he helped me teach on the fact that God wants Christians to prosper. And he's a big man, and he looked at me maybe as a young man, older than me. I mean, he has a son in university, so he must be older than me. So he wanted to put me on the line of truth. All right, I don't think he was a believer, all right, because something I heard later, he was going to be a Christian. So he asked to see me, and they ushered him in, and he began to talk about the disconnect, that he saw a disconnect, that God wants people to prosper, so Christians don't walk, and all of that. He was talking and talking. You know, God gave me an answer for him, because I didn't even know him, so I respected his age and everything, and I explained something to him straight there. I said, this is the first time I've come here. He said, yes. I said, obviously, you haven't heard me teach. I said, let me tell you what I do. I said, listen. I'm a university lecturer. I teach in two other universities apart from the one in which I'm primary lecturer. And I'm a hospital consultant, University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. I said, those who I teach, they know. They cannot possibly be thinking I'm asking them to be lazy. I said, this apart from the ministry I run full-time. I said, the people I teach, they know. So if I say God wants us to prosper, they don't think I'm saying God wants us to prosper. They go and cross their leg and pick it in money. Praise God. God wants us to prosper. All right, we're going to go sit down and wait for the prosperity of God. I said, definitely, they are not like that. You understand? You know what happened? He came with the idea. When I told him, I wasn't trying to brag. I just wanted to explain something to him. I saw his shoulders sag. He was shocked. That, listen, you're not talking to a lazy man. If I didn't feel God wanted to also prosper, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I mean, why do you fight the will of God? Are you getting my point? If God wants you to die early, it's very simple. Just go to the center of the road, close your eyes. When the truck is coming, you know, you will have fulfilled the will of God. So the point I'm just making is this, all right? That I just said to the man simply, all right? This is the kind of people I talk to. I told him simply, you are coming here for the first time. And for that reason, you misunderstand what I'm saying. You judge me based upon what other people are saying. Who said anything close to what I have said? You will just assume that we are coming from the same place. Now, why did I say that? You know, I've said this again and again, and I mean it. I'm not joking about it. That you commit one sin does not send you to hellfire. Jesus is not... Listen, you know what the Bible says? It said, if God were to number iniquity, nobody will stand. All of us, you, me, everybody is going to hellfire. If that's the basis. But when you make statements like that, people think that you are preaching what they call eternal security. What do they mean by eternal security? Eternal security means that once you've given your life to Christ once in the past, no matter what you become today, don't worry, you are safe. I didn't say that. Did I say that? Because I know, if you go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 6, quickly open there. That's not the first, that's not our main text for today, but let's just read it. If you read from verse 6, Hebrews chapter 6, if you read from verse 1, you will see Paul, whoever I wrote, was speaking about the elementary teachings about Christ and all of that. And he said we need to progress from that point and move up beyond that, all right? And I said from verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. And I said, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Now, he's described a number of things to them, about them. In verse, and let me just stop what I want to say there. And he said, in not liking them to the fact that the ground that was already was blessed and all of that, it's in verse 8, he says, but if he yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. So you see there, I understand perfectly that the Bible says that it is possible for a man, a woman, to be a Christian and then do what we call, you can walk into what the Bible, what we call apostasy. You understand my point? Please bear that one in mind. I understand that. Later on, I'll read in a moment. You read from the book of Revelation chapter 3. You see that Jesus says something at a particular point in time. He said, you have to return and do the works you did at the beginning so that I will not erase your name from my book. You understand? And at those things, I know they can happen. In fact, John said that if you see a brother committing a sin unto death, you understand? I am not saying you should pray for such a person. And if you look at the context, it was describing a sin of eternal death. It was not just talking about sin that could kill him physically. You understand? Those things, they do occur. I am aware, I am conscious of that fact. Having been aware of this fact and having studied the scriptures, I am still telling you, nobody goes to hell because he tells one, told one lie. Why I'm saying all of this is that I see people using hellfire to threaten Christians. You shouldn't be threatened. You should not be afraid. Let me tell you some things, all right? One of the problems we have these days is that many people who go to church are not believers. Let me say it again. Many, in fact, my own conservative estimate today is that if you walk into a thriving Pentecostal church, 50% are not saved. That's my estimate. That is not the scripture. That is my estimate. I may be wrong. It may be that 90% are not saved. I may be wrong. There's only 10%. But my conservative estimate is that 50% are not believers. You know, let me tell you something. There's something about our culture today, at least in Nigeria. I don't know how it is. In fact, in Europe, it doesn't exist. You can be a very normal citizen in any of those European countries, and you say there's no God. In Nigeria, if you say there's no God, no woman will marry you. If you're a woman, if no woman says there's no God, only men open their mouth and touch such nonsense in this part of the world. So let's even leave the women folk out. If you're a man and you say there's no God, even the woman who wanted to marry will run. And the father will say, what happened? Ah, daddy, he said there's no God. Now, the woman is an evil soul. She will run away from you because you said there's no God. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Now, so for that reason, in this our society, people go to church to settle. A lot of people go to church when it's time to get married. Some go there to go and look for a good wife or look for a, or meet a good husband. Some do. But others, that's not even the issue. I was talking with a friend of mine, a classmate, all right, a few weeks ago. And he was talking, at the end of the day, his conviction right now is that there's no proof that there's God. We talked for some time, all right? And I said, so why do you go to church? He said, one, he was born a Catholic. He grew up a Catholic. Now, get the point. And then he left there and went to a Pentecostal church a number of times. And finally, he settled down. And when you ask him, are you a Christian, in the form, the answer is yes. Which one is your denomination? I'm an Anglican. Yet he spoke to me, to my face, that he doesn't believe there's God. So I said, why do you go to church then? He said, I just want to give my children the same opportunity I had so that they will grow up and make up their mind. And he's numbered as one of the members of that church. A man once, I borrowed books from him, Grail Message, In Light of Truth. And he was looking at the book as if, yes, this is truth. Yet he's a knight of the Catholic Church. For your information, Grail Message says that Jesus was not born of the Holy Spirit, was not conceived of the Holy Spirit. Grail Message says that Jesus is not the Son of God. Do you get the point I'm going to make? Yet he's a knight. Special occasions, he would dress up as knight of saint this, knight of saint that. There are pastors that are counseling women. In fact, oh God, you help me not to say too much. There is a church right now, one of the prominent Pentecostal churches in Nigeria. My opinion is that 50% of their pastors are not Christians. I don't mean Orthodox Church, Pentecostal. That's my opinion. All you need to do is hear what people say in private. That's when you know whether they are believers or not. You see, that's what confuses people. A lot of people are preaching to every Sunday. They don't believe in Christ. What happens is that, like I was saying, this is our society. As you begin to grow, it gets to a point you cannot be nowhere. People go so that when their children want to wed, they'll have where to wed. So I'm like, if I die, suddenly who will bury me? No, that's the reason why a lot of people go to church. That's why I made a statement. If you're one of the people following me on Twitter, I sent a quote out, you know, a tweet. That, listen, it is not the amount of truth that is in your head that matters. It is the truth that's actually affecting your system, which manifests in how you make decisions, that really sets you free. That truth doesn't set free because you heard it. The only truth that sets you free is the one that's affecting your decision-making process as a sign of the fact that you really believe it. It is not just I've heard the truth. I'm saying it to you. This is my conviction. In today's Nigeria, I don't know about Malawi. I don't know about Ghana. I don't know about Cameroon next door. I don't know about the United States. In today's Nigeria, 50% of those who go to Pentecostal churches are not Christians. They think they are. That's the strange part. They only came there to settle. Gone are the days of playing around. Now you're a family man. Every family man is supposed to, you know, it's just a cultural thing. For that reason, you can threaten such a man with hellfire. You can. A true believer cannot be threatened with that. I told you once, I heard a man preach. He said, going to hell is very easy. A good woman, a good Christian, one day she went to market and fought. After fighting, she crossed the road. A car knocked her down and she died. Say, I'm telling you, the woman went to hell. I said, if she went to hell, you got there ahead of her. Because fighting is not the sin. It's less sin than handling the word of God wrongly. Do you get my point? If you handle the word of God wrongly, you have committed more sin than somebody who just gave a exchange a few blows in the heat of argument. If that is the case, most of the preachers you watch on TV and are in hellfire already, yeah, I hope you know that. How do I know? They use the word of God to raise money. Something that is very wrong. I have not gone to church. God spoke to me especially today to bring out the truth. The truth, if it is to be told, is that you want to raise money. God didn't say nothing to you. Yet you are not going to hellfire. A woman that just exchanged a few blows, you now go to hellfire. Her blows are more innocent than the lies told by a preacher with the word of God. Are you getting my point? Go and read your scriptures. You will find out. In fact, we should read some of them. Let's just read them. First of all, let's go down to the book of Revelations. You see what I'm saying there. The book of Revelation chapter 20 from verse 11. It said, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, amongst them the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened. Please notice that. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book, in the books, according to their deeds. Now notice this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it and all of that. If you now go to verse 14, it said, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name, now please follow this. The premise upon which somebody is thrown into the lake of fire. He said, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Please notice that If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I want you to understand something. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he said to them, when they returned and they were rejoicing about the fact that demons were subject to them in his name. And he said, don't rejoice in the fact that you experienced that demonstration of the power of God. He said, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That was Peter who denied him. You've got my point? Those were people like Andrew and Co. who misjudged his statement when he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, he's angry that we didn't take enough bread along. Their names were written in the book of life. And when Jesus was speaking in that Revelation chapter 3, he said, if you do this, I will not erase your name from the book of life. That is, your name is written. The risk is erasure. Are you getting my point? And it's not as if they erase it anytime you do something wrong, and then they go and rewrite it once you confess. You say, Pastor Panke, are you saying that Christians are allowed to sin? I said, this was the same thing they told Paul. And he answered, are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? There are questions that only are asked by people who go to church but are not true believers. And I have no answer for them. If you come to me and say, Pastor, you are saying I can sin, I'll still go to hell. And I'll still go to heaven. You are not a Christian if you walk up to me and you are looking for excuses for your sins. You are not a believer if you enjoy iniquity and therefore you are looking for how to corner God into, hey, I can continue. You need to really give your life to Christ. You are one of those that when they will lock the door. You know, I told you many pastors aren't going any, not because God says they committed, though, it's because they are not believers. He said, but they manifested the power of God. Even a donkey spoke under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Balaam heard. Go and read that story. Jesus, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, Jesus was speaking. He said, in the last days, many will come and say, did we not cast out demons in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. While you were casting out demons in my name, I did not know who was talking. I don't know whether I get the point. You pastor a church, you do ministry, does not make you a believer. It's unfortunate that these days people walk up their way so that you'll be promoted. Faithfulness is to pastor, bishop, and archbishop so that we can be promoted. And to them it's a sign that they are believers. That doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian, I'll tell you, that you simply sat down one day and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. I give you my life. And you meant it. You could have said that in the bottom of the sea, on the top of a mountain, alone in your closet, or you answered an altar call at a crusade. Many people that answer calls at crusades these days in churches, many of them answer altar calls unto prosperity. I mean, what does it mean to be a believer? That is, you gave your life to Christ, that do with me as you please. Forgive me my sins. I want to live in a manner pleasing to you. Whether they promote you or not in your assembly is totally irrelevant. Don't forget, Jesus said something to us clearly. When I plant wheat, the enemy comes out and sows tares amongst them. There are people who are going to church. They have title reverend. They are senior pastors and all of that. And they are not Christians. Pastor Banky mentioned the name of one. I don't know. I just know they are there. People start, they say they dreamt. I've read all kinds of things, stories of dreams. I went to hellfire and I saw somebody there. Why are you in hellfire? Because I used to wear short skirts on the earth. Consider, why am I in hellfire today? Because when they count the church money, I'm not counting and complete. Listen, he said, those who believe, they are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already. What sends you to hellfire is that you rejected Jesus Christ when he was offered to you. Let's get this clear. There's eternal condemnation. It comes because you reject Jesus when he's given to you. If you think you can walk on this earth, that your aim is, I must never do anything wrong so I can go to heaven, you are wasting your time. You will be ineffective on this earth. Because, people misjudge sin. If God says go to the right and you go to the left, I hope you know, as long as you're on the left, you are walking in sin. I hope you know that. There are many things people do. They don't realize it's iniquity. Because it is not stealing. It is not fornication. It is not adultery. It is not, maybe, you know, those when we're young, backbiting. Once I was 7, I was just, we went for a trip, you know, like an excursion, me and the fellow coppers. And I said something to one fellow. And, you know, and I said, who was I talking about? Because we're talking about somebody. Actually, there was one fellow there, was a Muslim. He was fasting during the fasting feast festival. He had become so thin, I was like, oh boy, see that guy, he don't thin like this, God fasting. So one guy now overheard me. He said, no, backbiting is a sin. No. You're not supposed to backbite, because I say a man don't lose weight because of fasting. That's backbiting. I don't want to start telling you about the orukuruku. The man who said I shouldn't backbite, what he was biting. What's the point I'm making? We gather little things and call them sin. We gather cigarette smoking and say it is sin. You find a man with a can of beer and say it is sin. Then the man pointing out these little sins. God said to him, be a businessman. He's pastoring the church. He does not realize, you know, because he's a pastor, he thinks that it's the work of God. He doesn't know that he will die faster than the man smoking. He doesn't realize it. He doesn't understand that he's not working according to the plan of God for his life. He doesn't know that he's working in total ignorance. They've made him a branch pastor, a man with no anointing, no understanding, no calling. He's working with the pride of life. He has gone to buy a sticker, pastor, and put it on his car. You've seen those stickers. And when you ask him, hello, what is your name? I am Reverend. He's irreverent in everything he's doing, but he's reverent. And he actually feels as if he's serving God. And he stands there and points at the man who's smoking ordinary Benson and Hedges. Say, Pastor Banky, are you saying smoking is good? I'm a pathologist. I can tell you what smoking does for you. It gives you cancer of the lungs. It gives you emphysema, chronic bronchitis, thromboangitis obliterans. I can sit down here and count for you for a very long time. One thing I can assure you that it doesn't send you to hellfire. All those lies you've been using, those cheating you've been cheating people at fuel pump, that one sends you to the core of the sun. Temperature is higher than anywhere else. Not even hellfire. That one, it goes there faster. You now see a man who cannot be trusted. If he says, I will come at one, you won't see him for 2 days. And he feels righteous. Listen, let me tell you. The man who smokes cigarettes will be sick. His breath will smell. He will not be well. He will have problems in life. But you can be sure of one thing. He's better than the pastor who God did not call into ministry. If both of them are truly Christians. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. If you see a woman who smokes, say, how can you be smoking? She's better than a woman who walks out while her husband is talking. I hope you understand that. Look, why am I explaining all of these things I'm saying? I want you to know that many of us are committing real iniquity and pointing fingers at those who are committing small iniquity. You see, boys go to school. Say, don't mind that, my friend. He's a wicked boy. He's smoking. Now, listen. Nigerian culture, if you smoke, you have a problem. I hope you understand my point. You really have a problem. You know, because I told you that this is not just the act. It's the communion that goes with it. You understand my point? But I'm just trying to identify the act. You see a boy who his father cannot call and he will answer. He'll be pointing to his friend who smokes. Maybe that one smokes because his father smokes. In which case, smoking is a family problem. But he obeys his father in every other thing. They say that one is a sinner. But him, that his father can't trust, he talks to his father rudely, he dresses his mother like the Bible says, so that his lamp will go out in the time of darkness, but he considers himself a good man. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying in context. I'm not saying go and get it and say, my God, okay, now give me a stick. Your pastor says it's okay. I didn't say it's okay. I didn't say so. I'm trying to explain this issue of not understanding righteousness, not understanding what is really iniquity, trying to condemn somebody else and trying to walk in our own self-righteousness, thinking that will get us somewhere, when we don't realize that that is not what God is using to judge us. Nobody is sent to hellfire because he smoked a cigarette. He smoked a cigarette. None. It is those who reject Jesus Christ that are in bondage. They are the ones that are under condemnation. He said, anyone whose name is not found written in that book, that is the one that is thrown into the lake of fire. And listen to me, for believers, apostasy is the problem. And let me tell you something. If a Christian starts walking in backsliding, God is merciful. Are you getting my point? He tries to restore him. He tries to restore her. And listen, what people don't understand, let me tell you something. This earth is a very short period. I'll say it clear. It's a very short period of time. This is my perception. I can't say I'm totally certain about this or that that's how it is, all right? In the depth of truth. But I suspect that the way you step into eternity from this earth is the way you will remain eternally. I don't know what I heard I said. That's what I think. I think this is our training school. I think this is the place where God checks what we really are like before we exit this phase and go into the next. Please, I recommend this book again, Rejoiner's Final Quest. Because when I first met my wife, when I spoke like this, she thought something was wrong with this pastor. Then she read the book, The Final Quest, and the man explained a lot of things. Because he got to heaven and he saw that there were ranks of people. And that for Christians, faithfulness is number one. Are you getting my point? And let me just read something. Why am I preaching the way I'm preaching today? I want us to understand once again that your passport, your key to eternal life. Now listen to that. Your key to eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ, his son. The thing that gets you into heaven in God's presence is that you have believed on Jesus Christ, his son, who he sent. It is not that you never did anything wrong. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Why am I saying all of these things? I want Christians to walk in freedom and be able to serve God. Do you get my point? You know, when people didn't understand it, when men wanted to be pure, they went into caves. They went into monasteries. They segregated themselves from the earth. Are you getting my point? That's from the normal, from the world. Yeah, that's the word. They separated themselves from the world in the physical sense. And thereby disobey God. Yes, they started disobeying God by that. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm sending you out like what? Sheep. Where? Where? Amongst, not away from the wolves. You are supposed to be among the wolves. It said you are in the world, but you are not off the world. You cannot hide from the world and you'll be effective as a minister of the gospel. Who are you ministering to? Do you get the point? When men were afraid of contamination, not understanding that that righteousness comes by faith, righteousness comes by interacting with the word of God. The expression of divine nature in them is amplified as they interact with the word of God, not as they run away from the world. He said, walk in the spirit and you will not be contaminated by the world. Let me put it like that. Instead of doing that, what did we do? We went to hide. And we thought the holy men were those who hid. That's not holiness. Holiness is established only in a relationship with Christ Jesus. Holiness is not accomplished by running away physically from the world. It is only accomplished as the knowledge of God is increasing in you. You cannot run away from the people you are supposed to preach to. That's when Christians don't understand. That's what they start doing. They become ineffective because they are afraid of sin. Sin that God has taken care of by the sacrifice of Jesus. Something that God has put the nature of himself inside them so that with ease they can walk above that sin as long as they continue interacting with the word of God and fellowshipping with the brethren. No, they go and hide. And people start amplifying every little thing. I've heard people preach on TV. Even if I've been in churches. If you are still perming your hair, you are going to die and go to hell. You've heard it before. I've heard all kinds of that it became impossible not to go to hell. That even the man preaching, I knew for certain if God were to judge according to his message, he's going first. The man preaching. Because if God were to number iniquity, pastor will not stand up. The reason is because, you know, I've said it again and again. What God calls iniquity, you don't even want to know. Job was bragging on his righteousness. He had four men speaking with him. Eli would be the last one. And he challenged any one of them to itemize for him what he ever did wrong. Do you know they could not until Elihu spoke up? The other three, they spoke and spoke because all the iniquity they knew was that you hired somebody, you did not pay. All the iniquity they knew was that you saw your neighbor's wife and you collected. All the iniquity they knew was that you sold 10 measures and measured trickily. You understand my point? Trickishly, you measured 8. Those are the iniquities they knew. They counted and counted and counted and counted. That you must be a liar. He said, which lie have I ever told you? Which day did I come to you to tell you that the sun rises from the west and sets in the east? Which lie have I ever told you? They said, okay, it's not lying. It is women. They said, okay, you know my wife. Apart from her, tell me one woman you caught me once looking at. Not holding. Not hugging. Not kissing. Just looking at. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Therefore, I don't look at young women anyhow. They said, no, it's not that one. They kept, at the end of the day, he had to say, oh, look, if you have nothing else to say, keep quiet. So everybody agreed to keep quiet. Well, they kept quiet with the impression that the man is just a self-righteous, you know, bagger. He said, you call me a self-righteous bagger, tell me what I did wrong. And everybody was lost. Until Elihu began to speak. And Elihu did not point one thing out that Job did wrong. He just pointed out the difference and the might of God as compared to the person called Job. Job and men around him that time, they counted iniquity the way they understood. They didn't realize that if God really wanted to count iniquity, nobody can stand. And what am I preaching again? I said, don't worry about it. Are you getting my point? Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Don't worry yourself about let me not die and go to hell. You are not going to hell. What did I say? Unless you are not a Christian, which is an established, well, to me, it's established that 50% at least of those who go to Pentecostal churches these days are not Christians. They just go to church. I don't want to discuss that in detail. All right? But what I want each person to do is just ask yourself, am I a Christian? What makes you a Christian? It's simple. Have I looked in prayer at the face of God and said, God, this is my life. I want it to be yours alone. That Jesus, I give you my life. I'm not out for eye service. I want to serve you. Do I come to the word of God just to know God more? Not tricks for doing my business. Not tricks for success. How to sow a seed so I can get more money. Do I come to the word of God just with a heart that wants to know, a heart that wants to be corrected, a heart that wants to live in a godly fashion? Is my godliness a matter of impressing the preachers in my church, the elders there so they can promote me? Once you rule those things out, you're a believer and you are going to heaven. What did I say? Say, I'm going to heaven. Listen, you can't go to hell. Amen? Until you open your mouth. Go and read this book. Kenneth Higgins, Triumphant Church. There's a story of one woman there that he told. And I'm going to say something about that as I'm going on. I'm talking about apostasy. What sin does, one of the problems of walking in sin is that it sets you up for apostasy. Okay, let me just quickly dispense of that now. When men's hearts become very, very hardened, that they walk into apostasy, I've read scriptures to show that a man's name, all right, somebody's name can be erased from the book of life. They can erase. But it's not something they do every day. That's just the point I'm making. So that you can walk with freedom. Just, you know, don't. God is not looking for how to get you. You get what I'm saying? Say, this boy, wait, I will soon send him to hellfire. That's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to purify you. Are you getting my point? He's trying to make you better. And you will see something. The first thing God does for a sinning believer is to send him into tribulation. That's why I said to you the other day, some people say, what are you talking about? I said, listen, you want to die early, go and start committing. Paul said that this, if I say this, it will surprise you. There was a man that he took his father's wife and was living with her. And Paul said, what have I done? He said, I have handed him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit can be saved. You want to be punished on this earth, start walking in sin. And the sin we are talking about is not saying, hey, every babe will pass beside you, you grab. That's not what I'm talking about. That's overt, you know, overt things. Little things like, you know, go and read this, go and listen to this message I preached many years ago. Quench not the spirit. I said, if you decide that you are going to, the reason why God gave you life can only be done when you have time. You won't live long. That you want to kill yourself early. You've located your gift, but because money is flowing easily from another place, you abandon the reason why God gave you life to go and pursue money. You are, one thing is guaranteed, you will not live long. Let me tell you what the Bible calls. People don't understand this thing. They think about, you know, it's because you think sin is, I stole money. Some people look at Nigerian politicians, if they are worse sinners than everybody else. They are just normal Nigerians. Most Nigerians steal. Did I say Nigerians? Human beings. Human beings like to steal a lot. But when you know, if you are the head of a student council, you can only steal maybe 10,000 naira. When you become the head of pension fund, you can take 15 billion. Both of you are at the same level of thieves in the realm of the spirit. People think that's all they've seen. Look, listen. I told you that William Marion Braham was a leading prophet. Let me tell you the kind of prophet this man was. Other preachers said when things were hard, they used to send the people to him to minister to them. Let me tell you the kind of prophet this man was. I have a book, The Acts of the Prophet. One man was describing his life to show that this man was a prophet of God. That there was a particular kind of cloud that formed in a desert, I think Nevada, somewhere in the United States. And it was photographed. The person put the picture there.